Good morning. I am going to call us to order so we get started on time. Called to order the meeting of the House Elections Committee. I wanted to start by introducing our new CA, Wilson Lee, to the committee. If folks want to, I don't think we need to go around and say our names, but if folks want to introduce him when we gavel out, we are very lucky to have him. And where do you come from? Which committee?
Education policy.
So, and I also want to note that we are we have the goal is to get through the bill, the amendments, and the discussion. But we do have this this evening at 6 p.m. if we don't. So whatever we get done in the first 3 hours. We will either be done or leave it there and come back at 6. So just for folks to know. Representative Quam.
Madam Chair, so we'll have the same room?
Yes.
And yep. We have that till 10 or midnight?
We will all be here until 9, but you're welcome to stay. With that, I will note that we do have a quorum. A quorum is present, and I will look for a motion for the approval of the minutes.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Frederick moves the approval of the minutes from March 20th, 2024. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion prevails, and the minutes from March 20th, 2024 are approved. We have in front of us today Chair Freiberg's House File 4411. Chair Freiberg, do you want to move your bill?
Sure, I will move House 4411 to Ways and Means.
Chair Freiberg moves that House File 4411 is re-referred to Ways and Means. Chair Freiberg, do you want to move your DE3 amendment?
Sure. I will move the DE3 amendment.
Chair Freiberg moves the DE3 amendment. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Chair Freiberg, to your bill as amended.
Sure. We didn't get a large target, so I'm just going to quickly summarize the different provisions that are in the different bills that are in the DE3. So it includes Representative Frazier's local option ranked choice voting bill, Vice Chair Greenman, your reimbursement account for the Minnesota Voting Rights Act is in here, which is newer language, but it's tied to an existing bill. Representative Coulter's bill, standardizing reporting for committees and political funds in local races, had a small cost, so that's in here. There's some additional funding for the voting operations account or the voter fund that we put in here off of the target. And then finally, Representative Greenman, you introduced the bill, I know, to transfer money from the Dropbox fund to the voter fund. That's in here. And kind of the way that's laid out in the bill language is somewhat not totally straightforward, so I think it might be helpful to have Ms. Roberts go through just kind of summarize the way the financial provisions are laid out in here.
Thank you, Chair Freiberg. And maybe do we want you to walk us through the whole spreadsheet and maybe spend a little bit of time on the Dropbox voter fund?
Madam Chair, sure. The spreadsheet is just kind of a traditional spreadsheet that shows how the funding matches up to the target. And those items were all covered by the chair in his explanation. But in addition to those, that new funding that's shown on the spreadsheet, there are some internal transfers. And so if you try to look from the spreadsheet to the bill language, that's, I think, where it gets a little confusing. So to begin with, for the internal transfers, there were two allocations that were made in the 2021 session. One was $1 million for the Dropbox grants, and then $750,000 for the voter equipment grant account, or VEGA. So the first section of the bill is specifying that those are, it's modifying the 2021 law and specifying that those are one time, but that funding now remains in the Secretary of State's base and it's going to be reallocated to the voter, the new voter account. So that happens in section two of the bill. Those amounts that I just discussed are reallocated to the voter account. And in addition, the funding that was provided in last year's bill, the $1.25 million per year, in a separate transfer is now moved up into the Secretary of State space. So again, not new funding, but it's being moved from one place to the other. And then, so that's in section two. And you can see then on lines 2.20 to 2.26, where the total transfers now for the voter account are, and those total 2.25 million in fiscal year 24 and 3.127 in fiscal year 25. That consists again of the $1.75 million reallocation, the $1.25 million move from the transfer to the direct appropriation, and the $127,000 of new money. And then, because I think someone will ask, why is there a difference between 24 and 25? There's in fiscal year 24, the money, the $750,000 for the Vega account is already in a special revenue fund, so we're treating that in a different transfer.
Thank you, Ms. Roberts. Chair Freiberg, anything addition to add? Any additional to add to before we get to testimony?
No, I think we can go to testimony.
With that, I have one person on my list, Nicole Freeman from the Office of Secretary of State. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Nicole Freeman, Office of the Secretary of State. I will be brief, as I know that the office has commented on almost every portion of this bill. But I wanted to, and I wanted to also mention that the Secretary wished he could be here. He had a scheduling conflict this morning that was unmovable. So thank you to the committee for the additional dollars into the voter fund, as well as shifting those two grant programs over to the voter fund. We feel like, as we testified earlier when those bills were heard, we feel like this shift to the voter fund, it's a stable and known amount that local governments will receive each year, and so they're able to incorporate that into their budget and use that for planning as they are looking to, you know, purchase new equipment or plan for the next upcoming election. We also wanted to say that Secretary Simon has offered his support previously for the local option, and we thank you for including that here and funding that. And finally, we appreciate working with Representative Greenman on the language related to the reimbursement account for the Minnesota Voting Rights Act, and look forward to continue working with the committee for the rest of session. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Ms. Freeman. That is the end of my list. Is there anybody else in the public who wishes to testify to this bill? Anybody who wants to testify? Okay. With that, seeing no more testifiers, I think we will move to amendments for consideration. I have the A1 amendment. Lee Torkelson, are you prepared to offer that amendment? That's your amendment? Okay. Would you want to move the A1 and describe it to the committee?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before I move the amendment, I think it's important that I note that spreadsheets for this bill were just received this morning. Now, I know we have a new CA, and after being so critical of the last one that he quit, I hesitate to be critical of this one, but I do welcome him and thank him for his service, and we'll tolerate the tardy presentation of these spreadsheets.
I appreciate that, Lee Torkelson, and with, I think, the last committee, I appreciate you not driving out our CA just yet with our last committee today.
Well, it seems pointless when it's probably his only chance to, to work with us, so I just wish we had more time. Thank you, Madam Chair. I will move the A1 amendment. It's a simple amendment. It would require a ballot question for the acceptance of ranked choice voting for a local municipality. It's really just the people's voice. Because this is, you know, going to ranked choice voting is a major step. It has been, in some cases, very challenging for the voters themselves to understand just what it is that's going to be on their ballot. Not everyone plays close attention to what happens in this committee or even within their own local government. So they may be surprised when all of a sudden ranked choice voting is the option on their ballot. Ranked choice voting is a dramatic change from our traditional approach to elections, where it's you know, a much simpler process, requires less preparation, really, as for a voter. So I think by bringing it to the people would mean that the process would be more analyzed by the voters. They would have a chance to talk about it before it actually was implemented. They would be exposed to it. And then if they decide it's a good idea for their particular community, fine. But at least they would it would have been discussed, it would have been proposed, it would have been analyzed by the voters, so that when it comes to the first election, when ranked choice voting is the option on the ballot, they would be much more likely to understand what's there. I think back to the first time that Minneapolis did ranked choice voting, it was pretty much a disaster. They had so many candidates on the ballot that people were just confused. In fact, they then raised the, as you know, raised the fee for getting on the ballot, so to try and control the number of candidates. But it's more than that. It's this, you know, the strategy, because we see candidates in ranked choice voting races using strategies that are just unheard of in a normal election, you know, requesting that you rank, you know, requesting that second place ranking, for instance. It's effective. I understand why a candidate would do that, but I'm trying to look at this from the voter's perspective. The voter's perspective is, what's this all about? Why would I want to rank somebody, make sure that they're my second choice? So I just believe that putting this to the voters would give voters a chance to really digest what ranked choice voting really is, what it's all about, and then make the decision, should our community go ahead with this or shouldn't we?
Thank you, Lee Torkelson. Chair Freiberg, any comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for offering this, Representative Torkelson. I'd ask for a no vote on this amendment. You know, we should trust our local council members. So I heard a member on the floor the other day, not anybody on this committee, but you know, but another member refer to like bozos on the city council. You know, that's not how I view them. Local laws are adopted by city councils, county boards, and school boards by ordinance all the time. And that includes policies related to how elections occur. So when I was on a city council, it's now quite a few years ago, but we voted as a council to extend the mayor's term from 2 years to 4 years. I actually voted no on that, but you know, it was a vote taken by the city council and it passed. There are other things that that can occur by council vote. Those include whether to hold a primary election for city offices, the choice to have the general election in either the odd or the even year, whether and on which date to hold a special election, voting hours at a city election, and redistricting in cities with wards, precinct boundaries, and combined polling places. So, you know, this is consistent with what already exists in Minnesota law, allowing city councils to exercise their authority, and I would encourage members to vote no.
Thank you, Chair Freiberg. I see Representative Quam on the list.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I understand what you're saying. There's a lot of things that can change. However, one of the issues that pops up with ranked choice voting is that the final winner oftentimes doesn't have a majority of what the original votes were. And the first time, I mean, you change, okay, it's a four-year versus a two-year and those type of things. But when the ballot is dramatically different than what people are used to, and the probability of there being some unintended things done on the ballot because it might not be clear. And in fact, there are places where they've had multiple ones where people aren't that clear as to exactly what's going on. But it gets down to the first time for a dramatic change on the ballot, You want to have the people aware. And if you have that discussion and there's a vote on it, and a normal vote on it, the likelihood of a person understanding and more effectively utilizing the ranked choice voting process is increased. And I've heard some of the, consternation from, a certain city with the ranked choice. And I think some of that comes from not fully understanding, and some of it comes from, well, X number of people voted, and the people winning are quite a bit, it's noticeably less than 50%. And so a lot of people would find that as being disconcerting. So I think it's just prudent to involve the public, because then they'll be more informed and you'll have a more successful process. Because if the first one is sort of a mess, then it's possible it might say, well, we're not going to do this again because it's a mess. But if you go through a logical process and form, and the community is aware, you have a better chance of having success with ranked choice voting. And so I think this is a prudent thing to do, a logical thing to do, and a reasonable thing to do. So I hope people vote for it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So ranked choice voting brings a fundamental change to our elections, a drastic change to our elections. And I'll remind everyone that the Democrat trifecta won that trifecta by just a few hundred votes difference. So we really have a split down the middle in our state, leaning slightly one way, but with a Democrat trifecta. And again, I've seen you treating it like you won in a landslide, and you didn't. And I've seen you completely shut out the voice of the other side, and that should not happen in elections committee. We need bipartisan support. I will bring this up once again. You do not have bipartisan support when it comes to the subject of ranked choice voting. And so why wouldn't you want this to go to the people? I've heard it argued that ranked choice voting is for the people. The purpose of it is for the people to have a voice. What perfect way, what better way to have a voice for the people than to let them vote on whether or not they really want ranked choice voting? To me, this is a no-brainer of democracy in our elections. Let the people decide if they want ranked choice voting. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Davis. Any further comments on the A1? Lead Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks to Representative Davis for expressing just how important bipartisanship is in this committee work, and has been, as I agree with him, has been totally ignored in these in this biennium. But also to quote someone else is calling city council members bozos. I don't think anybody in on my side of this table has said that, and certainly it's not my intention with this amendment to disrespect any city council members. I could assume that somebody who said that probably is the voter that wanted to take Uber to the polling station, but I don't know that for sure. This is, we believe that this is an appropriate amendment to this bill, that it would educate voters, it would clarify the change. This is a much more dramatic change than just extending time at the ballot box or changing a date, or even changing the term of a mayor. This is a dramatic change in how people cast their ballots that requires them to approach an election in a whole different manner than they have over their entire lives. So that's why this amendment is before you, and I urge acceptance, and I ask for a roll call.
Thank you. Lee Torkelson asked for a roll call. Mr. Harrison, can you do a roll call?
Chair Freiberg.
No.
Vice Chair Greenman.
No.
Minority Lead Torkelson.
Yes.
Representative Agbaje.
No.
Representative Altendorf.
Aye.
Representative Bonner.
No.
Representative Bliss.
Yes.
Representative Coulter.
No.
Representative Davis.
Yes.
Representative Frederick.
No.
Representative Purcell.
No.
Representative Quam.
Aye.
Representative Vernig.
No.
With a total of five ayes and eight nays, the amendment is not adopted. Lead Torkelson, would you like to move and describe your second amendment, the A2?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the A2 amendment.
Describe the amendment, please.
I do happen to sit on the Rules Committee. I know that this bill is moving separately. I don't see any reason why it should need to move in both places. Actually, I think it's a great idea that it moves separately, that we get a straight up or down vote on the floor on ranked choice voting rather than hiding it in this bill. I think we should let it go that direction, and so that is the reason. I'm just supporting what I saw in the Rules Committee, this bill moving on its own, and I think it's a great idea, so I'm supporting it with this amendment, and I urge members to vote aye.
Thank you, Lee Torkelson. Chair Freiberg, to the motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would ask for a no vote. I appreciate that rationale, so I'll cut out some of my other comments that I was going to make here, but I'll just say that bills move in multiple places all the time. It's a belt and suspenders approach. It's certainly not being hidden in here. We've heard it in this committee. We're discussing amendments right now related to this topic, so I guess maybe I'll just leave it at that, since that's all the Lead Torkelson mentioned, and ask members to vote no.
Lead Torkelson, any comments? Okay. Seeing no further discussion. Representative Altendorf, didn't see ya.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and thanks, Chair Freiberg. I just would like the committee to consider, this is a little bit sloppy government. I know it's done on both sides. I mean, I know it is done on the Republican side and the Democrat side, so I'm certainly not saying one side is more at fault than the other. However, when we are making really radical changes in the state of Minnesota, I do think that the people of Minnesota, and again, I don't, this would be everyone, I'm not talking about party lines, that they would appreciate if we did our job and if we moved bills so it's a single item bill so that we can have those straight up votes instead of using the, political strategy that we get to hide behind things being in a big omnibus bill. And so we don't have to take that hard vote on the floor. So I really do think the citizens of Minnesota would appreciate this being such a major change to our elections that they would like it on a separate bill.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the author, I like your bringing together comment of belt and suspenders. But I think government redundancy burns extra time. And so I'll just, again, support the amendment. And thank you.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Chair Freiberg, for bringing this bill and giving us the time to walk through it again. I just want to recenter us and remind us that this bill is about a local option. Emphasis on the word option. It means that cities can, should they choose, adopt this measure. And, the purpose of the bill here today is to allow us to do the preparation for cities and communities to be able to adopt this, should they so choose. That is the whole point of what we're doing here today, is giving the Secretary of State authority to get those pieces in place to say, if we want to take this, if our voters want this, that it's an option for them and that they have the supports that they need to be able to enact it. It really is. And I think
as far as, you know, being confusing, it's not that confusing. If your first choice doesn't get selected, you get a second bite at the apple. Without ranked choice voting, if your candidate doesn't succeed, that's just it. It's done. This actually gives voters a little bit more say, especially in things like school board elections, where you might have a wide variety of candidates, and maybe you like a couple of them quite a bit, but maybe your first choice doesn't succeed. It gives you that opportunity to have a voice and to have that second vote at the apple. And I just want to say, you know, when we talk about bipartisan, we hear that a lot here, but keep in mind that a lot of bills that we have passed this session and last have wide bipartisan support across the state. They may not in this committee, and they may not for political reasons, but many things that we do in this committee aren't necessarily controversial or difficult to conceive of. So I just want to recenter us that this really is about giving people and cities options, and that's how the process works. So I want to say thank you to the chair for bringing this bill forward. I want to say thank you to all the folks who have really worked hard on this bill to make it something that could be well supported and adopted into statute. Thank you.
Lead Torkelson, I'm going to end with you. Is there anyone else who wants to? Okay. Representative Altendorf.
Madam Chair, thank you. So I just have a question for Representative Bonner. You know, she clearly said ranked choice voting is not confusing. So I would like her to answer, when Alaska implemented ranked choice voting in 2020, how long did it take to have those results?
Representative Bonner, I'm not sure if you have the facts in front of you, but if you do, feel free to answer your question.
Well, it's highly irregular to ask other committee members questions during debate, but I will say I am not from the city or the state of Alaska, and I do not study the results of Alaskan elections, so I could not supply that information, but I'm sure perhaps staff or maybe even the author might have some additional information for you on that. I will say this. There has been a lot of conversation about there is actually software available that can also speed up tabulation of the results. And in fact, I would highly recommend that as we move forward, if cities choose to adopt this, that they consider that as an option to increase the speed with which they can process those votes and make folks more comfortable.
Thank you, Representative Bonner. Chair Freiberg, do you want to weigh in? I'm looking at you.
Thanks. We've discussed the merits of this when we heard the bill. I mean, just to represent Altendorf to your question, I know Alaska accepts absentee ballots for a week past Election Day. There's lots of factors at play here. I don't know that we need to reopen the whole ranked choice voting debate. So especially since the main argument against this was merely one of whether this should travel separately or not. But appreciate the discussion.
Representative Altendorf.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks, Representative Freiberg. And to Representative Bonner, you know, I wasn't trying to put anyone on a spot, but when we're here as state representatives and we are passing laws in the state of Minnesota, and we are on record, on public record, publicly stating that this is not confusing, and yet a simple Google search will show that other implementation of ranked choice voting has been confusing, has been lengthy, and that voters have waited not just days, but weeks to get results. We should not be talking from a place of authority at this table and just proclaiming that this is an easy deal, that it's not confusing. That I believe, is just very dishonest to the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Altendorf, and I think we're probably all guilty of making proclamations at the table in committee. Lead Torkelson, do you want to wrap up and the discussion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll attempt to do that. sounds like Representative Bonner would like to reconsider the previous amendment, because that's what most of her speech was about. And if we want to get back to that and talk about the voice of locals in this process, I think you may want to change your vote on the last amendment, because that's what that amendment was all about, was giving that local voice to this local decision. But that's not what this amendment is about. This amendment is about considering this bill separately. And I think I've made that argument clearly. And with that, I encourage members to vote for the choice to move this separately.
Seeing no further discussion, for all those in favor of adopting the A2, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
No.
Nay. Nays have it. The A2 is not adopted. So we have one final amendment, the A4. I think that is yours, Representative Altendorf. Do you want to move your amendment and describe what it is?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And yeah, I would like to move forward the A4 amendment. And just to give a little bit of clarification on this, it was made known to me from my county, Goodhue County, Red Wing, Minnesota, that in the past, someone who has previously been an election judge in other years, has always done that on a regular basis. This year, something changed, and she was asked to become an employee of the county. So to do that process, she had to do a background check. She was asked to read the papers from the county, which was, I was told, 160 pages. And to sign several things. So she was being treated exactly like she's an employee of the county. And so this amendment, which I, brought recently to my attention, and so I haven't specifically talked to you, Chair Freiberg, but I would hope that this would be an amendment that we should all look at, that, you know, we don't want to hinder people from becoming election judges. And so whether my county is just kind of the outlier, but let's put in some language that, election judges are not considered employees.
Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Altendorf. I appreciate that background because, yeah, as you said, we haven't had the chance to discuss it, so I wasn't sure what the background was for it. I'm happy to work with you on this. I certainly support the goal of streamlining the ability of people to become election judges. So if there's language we can get that arrives at that point, and we'd probably want to work with the Secretary of State's office on that as well. I'm certainly happy to have those discussions. I do know that the IRS says that election judges are common law employees and an employer-employee relationship is necessary for the election administrators to dictate the time, place, hours, and so on of an election judge's employment. I'm not quite sure this language is ready, so I don't think I can support it at this point, but as I said, I'm happy to keep working with you on this.
Representative Altendorf. Lee Darkelson?
I still am.
Yeah. Lee Darkelson.
I just was curious. This is something I am not familiar with. I'm wondering if the Secretary of State's office could help kind of inform us as to this relationship between election judges and their apparent employers.
We'll start with Ms. Freeman for the Secretary of State's office. What I will say, and I will not bore you with, because it's a different bill, when we're talking about the misclassification of folks who should be employees as independent contractors, there's a few different tests to evaluate the relationship between a worker and their employer, who they're working for. And I think that was what Chair Freiberg was referencing. There's a common law IRS test, which is what the IRS uses. There's a workers' comp test. There's a unemployment insurance test. And all of them center on the idea of direction and sort of supervision and control. So it is pretty clear to me, and I think that this would be an employment relationship. But that is just with my other hat on. So turning to you, I see Quam. And then I see Mr. Hilgert standing in the wings as well. So, Ms. Freeman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Nicole Freeman, Office of the Secretary of State. I think what I will say is that it isn't, the that state law does require that the local jurisdictions hire both election judges as well as ballot board members, and they are the ones who are appointing and directing those folks. And so I do think that it is, I think Mr. Hilgart can talk to how at least counties might deal with hiring folks differently for different lengths of time that they may be working, whether it's just on election day or if it's a ballot board and a longer period of time. But I will say that, you know, that state statute does require that it's the local jurisdictions that are doing the hiring of those folks. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Freeman, Mr. Hilgart, and then I will get to you, Representative Cormier.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Matt Hilgart. I work for the Association of Minnesota Counties. I am not an HR expert, but I did ask some of our HR representatives on this amendment yesterday. Generally, they had good things to say in terms of this clarifies that they wouldn't have to necessarily treat employees as you were describing. Right now, the response that I can give you is the one from St. Louis County, where they said that this would help with clarity that election judges need not be employees and subject to Social Security, Medicaid, tax withholdings, et cetera. So that was the response that I got back. But again, I am not an HR professional.
So. Representative Quam.
I'll make my motion to table it if this amendment doesn't make it on, because it's not trivial and we need to straighten this out. There have been so many changes with employment, you know, laws and statutes and stuff that we really should, as a committee, make sure we clarify that these are not normal employees. It's just for this specific purpose, and it's performing a function for doing the, you know, state process of voting. So I hopefully won't have to move that we table this.
Thank you, Representative Crom. And I would note there's all sorts of employees who are just hired for a specific function, who are hired for 1 or 2 days, who are hired for a limited period of time. So that, I know that that's not this committee, but when we talk about employment, that is not an unusual thing. Any additional comments before I go back to Representative Altendorf? Representative Altendorf. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Freiberg, you know, so specifically, did something change then in the 2023 bill that is confusing to the county that they believe they have to do this?
Chair Freiberg.
I can't speak to what the, you know, okay. what motivated your county. I mean, I can just reiterate, I am happy to work with you on this. Okay. If we're able to get mutually agreeable language, I'd be open to a floor amendment. I just not sure we should, you know.
Right.
Do this on the fly.
Yep.
Representative Altendorf.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Chair Freiberg. Yeah, absolutely. We're on the same page. You know, I think we all want to make sure that, especially in this case, I know you said that, you know, people are often hired for a day or two, but in the case of election judges, this is certainly an area that we want to make sure that we have more representation and not less. And I just really, excuse me, going into this 2024 election, you know, I want to make sure that we have this fixed so that we don't get somewhere and all of a sudden this blows up and it's this huge hindrance. You know, we need our public to be confident in our elections, and I'm really worried about where this could be heading. So I'm happy to work with you, and I just really want to clarify this.
With no further discussion, all in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay.
No.
Nay. The nays have it. With that, the amendment is not adopted. Seeing no further discussion, I think that we get to discuss, or no further amendment, excuse me, discussion to the bill. Representative Coulter.
Excuse me. Thank you, Madam Chair. I didn't plan to speak today. I just, we had some additional discussion on ranked choice voting and how it works and how voters respond to it and all of that sort of thing. And we had, I think, a good conversation when the bill was heard in committee, so I'm not going to really go too deep. I hardly ever talk about it, so folks may not know that I previously served on city council. And I am actually I found out 3 members of the Minnesota House that has run in a ranked choice voting election. I actually thought it was 2 previously, but I found out there was a 3rd member. And I just sort of want to renew my offer to folks on this side, folks on that side, and the one or two people watching this committee at home, that I am happy. I like to think I am an honest broker. I'm happy to talk about my own experience, my community's experience, how things went down, and how ranked choice voting has worked in a real community in our state, because I think that's a valuable perspective, and I think it would address some of the questions that I know folks continue to have. So just wanted to say that.
Thank you, Representative Coulter. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And counties need clarity. Obviously, at least one, if not more, counties are confused by some of the changes and are looking at needing or feel they need to have over 100 pages of documents and multiple signatures and background checks and all these other things. Since there are only like six lines to this amendment, and we do have, you said we do have the room at six, that would allow for plenty of opportunity today to get clarity on and take care of this issue. And so I would move that we table this bill.
Chair Quam moves that we table this bill. I think we can do that on a voice vote. All in favor of tailing the bill as amended, or of tabling, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay.
No.
Nay. The nays have it. The bill remains on the table.
No.
Seeing any, or remains in discussion. Under consideration. Any discussion? Any further discussion? Lead Torkelson, I'm not seeing anyone. Do you want to wrap up before I turn it to Chair Faber?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll be discussing this in more depth on the House floor, I think. I will just reiterate my personal disappointment and the performance of the way this committee has been handled, this entire biennium. Sure, there are things that we actually voted for on this side of the table and thought were good ideas, but in general, the approach has been the minority brings their ideas and in bill form to this committee and passes them without any consultation of the minority. This is not the way Minnesota has operated in the past. I happen to have with me today my coffee cup for the 2009 governor's fishing opener. And if we were in this committee in 2009, it would have been operated much differently than it is today. It's disappointing that we are treating the election process with such a partisan approach. This has, you know, long-term impacts on the voting process in Minnesota, and I would hope that this isn't the beginning of a very partisan process as we move into the future. You know, there's other legislatures coming. We expect them to act in an appropriate manner. We should act in an appropriate manner, and I don't believe we've done that. That's all I have to say, Madam Chair.
Chair Freiberg, any closing comments?
Sure. Thank you for the discussion. Appreciate Representative Bonner, your comments on ranked choice voting. Representative Coulter, your offer to work with members of the other side. Representative Altendorf, I look forward to discussing with you the issue of employees. You know, I feel like we've made efforts to work across the aisle. I do think there's great provisions in this bill that have support for people across the political spectrum throughout Minnesota. You know, and I would encourage members' support. I suppose with that, I will renew my motion that House File 4411, as amended, be referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
Chair Freiberg renews the motion that House File 4411, as amended, be referred to Ways and Means. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say nay.
Nay.
With that, the ayes have it, and your bill is on the way to Ways and Means. And seeing no other business in front of the committee, I think that people can have their 15 minutes back, and I do not think we'll need this evening hearing, although I think that Representative Quam may want some company. And with that, I don't know if you, Chair, want to make any comments about thank you to Wilson for his first and last committee, and thank you to staff who have very ably helped us all do our jobs and made us look good. With that, we are adjourned.